Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from Big City Wings in Humble, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's right, Ryan Hughley is out, Sean Bajani is in, and we are up in Humble, Fall Creek location of Big City Wings. And I'm telling you, Sean, I done put Sean Bajani on these crawdaddy wings, y'all. And I shouldn't be surprised. Look, they're always good. Now, I mean, look, I'll be honest with you. If I ever comes a point and I end up in a spot where it's like, hey, man, this is the last time you get to eat, I'm eating crawfish etouffee from Papado's, and somebody's going to boil some crawfish. Probably my boy Big Draws over in Baytown is going to boil up some crawfish, and then I'm good. I'm done. I'm ready. So that's my level of love for crawfish.
But
Crawdaddy Wings at Big City Wings is always good. But my man Ken here, manager here at the Fall Creek location, he's got an LSU shirt on, and he's got a real thick accent that I think he may have spent a little time in New Orleans, if you know what I mean. And so I am not surprised to announce that the Fall Creek location of Big City Wings has the best crawdaddy wings that I've had to date, and I've had them at several locations.
I'll co-sign that, and I've never had them before, but those were badass.
Ooh, you can smell it.
Yep.
And look, everybody, it ain't for everybody now. The smell and the feel and the level of dirtiness of eating crawfish, it ain't for everybody. But, boy, Ken got them doing it right back there. I got to believe that New Orleans vibe has got this.
Sports Radio 610, Houston Texans breaking news.
Well, I mean, that's could be a good thing, could be a bad thing. Tyler, what you got, man?
Well, it's not a good thing. Houston Texans breaking news. Injury report just hit the wire for the Houston Texans ahead of Week 6 facing off with the New England Patriots. There are three Texans as of right now today on a Football Friday that the Texans are ruling out for this game. Wide receiver Robert Woods, he ain't playing. Safety Jimmy Ward, he will also be out. And the young cornerback, Kamari Lassiter, is going to miss this Week 6 matchup versus the Patriots. That's the latest on the injuries.
Wouldn't say anything shocking, right? I mean, we kind of expected Woods, who hasn't practiced all week, to probably miss. Jimmy Ward's got a groin, and at his age, that's not a good thing. Kamari Lassiter has not practiced all week with the shoulder. I feel like we should have been pretty well conditioned to this point to be preparing for the plan B and plan C options for those guys.
Yeah, look, I obviously, you know, when they're not practicing at all, you know, Robert Woods is a guy that you could see not practice really at all and then play on Sunday. You could see that happen if they didn't just officially announce that he's not. You could obviously see that happening given who he is and the caliber player he is and what he's all about. But the Kamari Lassiter's a guy that needs work. He's a guy that needs to be in practice every day as it pertains to preparing for a game. And it didn't look like he was going to make that happen this week. Every report we got, he was on a did not practice list. So no, it doesn't surprise me that the third did not practice report in a row for Kamari Lassiter. He's out. And as I said with Jimmy Ward, look, I think Jimmy Ward is just, when you're dealing with a groin, that's not something that you just don't practice one day and then all of a sudden go, yep, I'm ready the next.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a different animal right there. And so
with them soft tissue things, I mean, just a hamstring alone, we saw a trend, not even just with the Texans, but look, in the NFL, when you're dealing with a hamstring and it's at a skill position like wide receiver, defensive back, whatever, running back, obviously, it's going to be at least 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Nico's going to miss at least 4 weeks. But Jimmy Ward, again, at his age, been doing this for a long time, 9-10-year NFL veteran, dealing with a groin, and from what I've heard, it's pretty serious groin situation with Jimmy Ward. He might be gone for a little while. And so Kalen Bullock, All eyes on him. Guy needs to step his game up over the course of the next few weeks.
Yeah, we'll hit the entire injury report a little bit later, but sticking with those three names, I mean, they're breaking news, sounder worthy, right? I mean, you got Kamari Lassiter, Jimmy Ward, and Robert Woods, all guys that have helped this football team. Let's hit it this way. All guys that if the best version of the Houston Texans are going to be on the field, they're all three on the field. All three of these guys are playing to some degree, especially last week after what we saw from Robert Woods since he's taken over some of the special teams duties, right?
Yeah.
No Nico Collins, so he would have played more prominently into the wide receiver rotation as well. So all three of these guys are to some degree, impact guys on the offense and the defense. I tell you, the one that worries me the most, I think, in this game is Jimmy Ward.
Why is that?
Well, because
mobile quarterback
communication. All of those things, being a veteran player, the communication, and I get all that. But for me, it's about his replacement. I really like Kalen Bullock. I really do. And I'm glad he's playing a lot. I'm okay. I'm comfortable with him playing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But we've seen him multiple times get beat over the top and the quarterback just not connect. We've seen him do some things in the red zone that young guys do in the NFL that cost you 7 points, or at least put you in a position where you weren't able, there was an easy throw in the ocean type touchdown.
Yeah.
And I think with New England, I think the only way the only way that New England makes this a game in the fourth quarter is it's going to take one or two just monster plays from Drake May.
As if they hit the explosive, right?
That's it. If they're running the ball well, I'm not even worried about them running the ball well, to be completely honest with you. We need to stop the run, obviously. But I think if running the ball, and forcing the run is all they're going to bring to the table, I like the Texans to win this game and just kind of slowly creep away from them. But it's the run the football for a quarter and a half, and then Drake May, boop, little play action, and he's got that big arm over the top. And we've seen Kalen Bullock be susceptible to that. And so the Kalen Bullock, your first mind, you go to Kamari Lassiter, obviously, because he's a starting cornerback. But I go to Kalen Bullock. Because if New England becomes a problem this week, I think it's going to take a big play that's probably geared towards taking advantage of a safety.
Yeah, safety and or that void at corner, as you said, with Lassiter. But you know what? Look, as a rookie, teams are going to test Lassiter anyway, and they still should.
Yeah.
But given the fact that you're going to be without Lassiter and now without Jimmy Ward, which, teams should be planning for anyway. You've got an opportunity to potentially take advantage of two rookies in that Texan secondary. That is a very real thing because you never know what kind of look just kind of presents itself for a Drake May, depending on how it's set up, whether it's a little play action. All it takes is one major explosive, Clint, and that's what really my concern is not necessarily something that makes this a game, but keeps them in the game. This is a game in which I think we're going into very comfortable with, look, this is a Texans win. It's how good do they look in getting it. And you don't want old problems to kind of creep back up in this.
Boy, it scared you last week in that third quarter, didn't they?
They did, absolutely. And really, the third quarter, that was a blip. It's still a big blip, but that was a blip on the radar screen. And otherwise, what was the most complete game the Texans had played to date? And you did it against an AFC power. Okay, it's not the same iteration of the Bills, but it's still a pretty darn good Bills squad. Josh Allen's figuring out how to move the ball down the field, how to put points up on the board. He looked like the rookie version of Josh Allen last weekend, and that's how you got the mark of a really good defense, too, and you can make a top five, top eight NFL quarterback look that way.
You know what? One thing I heard that's interesting, I did not – maybe it's because I don't watch the TV copy typically of the Texans game. I mean, I'm more obviously in the moment from the press box and then a film guy, more so than the TV copy. I did not realize that – there's a possibility that Josh Allen last week was, from a concussion perspective, shouldn't have been making the game. I can't remember who I was listening to this morning. I was listening to a conversation this morning, and it was on social media. Mm-hmm. So it was a national.
It may have
show.
Been Watt and McAfee.
That's exactly.
Yeah, they were talking about.
That's exactly what it was. Tyler, I appreciate that. Tyler,
I got it.
Tyler,
if you want to hear it,
Tyler sent some A+ audio of them talking about the possibility that Josh Allen. I don't think they were talking about a possibility. They were just flat out saying, I can't believe he was back in the game. Were y'all aware of that?
No.
Like, I was just –
yeah,
I just thought the dude stunk in that game. He just had a bad game.
Well, but prior to that hit on the sideline, like, he wasn't having a great game. I mean, that he looked bad.
Yeah, but, I guess overall I just wasn't aware of the concussion issue that he had. I mean, I saw obviously he went down.
He was knocked out.
Was it when Mario Edwards got him on the sideline?
Yes. Chase that was the fumble. Yeah.
Yeah.
That wasn't a fumble. But.
Yeah. I didn't know what kind of injury that was at the time, I guess, because up there in the press box they don't tell us, right?
Well, it's funny because Seth Payne leaned over to me and Reggie as soon as that play happened, and we're watching the replay multiple times. Like, the TVs are on delay, so you can watch the replay over here and then pivot over here and see the same thing. So we saw it at least three times. Seth is the only one that leaned over and was like, ooh, concussion? And I was like, nah, it's a shoulder.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't see him hit his head on the turf, you know, with anything that made me think, okay, concussion. And you go back and you look, and it's like, eh, shoulder. That was my initial thought.
Was that third quarter?
I believe so.
I just thought he just stunk it up. I didn't realize that there was a potential concussion there, which obviously changes the narrative of how you play that poorly throughout a game. But you're right. I mean, he was playing poorly from jump. I think the Texans just had him shook. You know, Tyler, I think there's something you need to come clean on, man.
What? That's terrifying.
I think there's something you need to come clean on.
Well, I don't have a guilty conscience, so it's not coming to mind.
Do you know if Sean Bajani has discovered what you did?
He has. He texted me. That magnet I put on your truck the other night.
Oh, you did do that.
Come on, man.
I saw it, but he put it on the passenger side.
So I was hoping it'd be there a few days before you found it.
Hey, wait. So wait a minute. So here's the deal. Here, just for everybody listening now. I mean, everybody enjoys a good prank, right? I mean, I enjoy a good prank.
Why that magnet?
So Tyler sends me a picture yesterday, and I'm trying to find it right now so I don't get the phrase wrong.
No, I should have gotten that all along, Tyler.
He says, by the way, we got to make sure that we talk about this right here tomorrow.
It says,
he's got
warning.
Big warning sign. Cowboy butts drive me nuts. And it's on Bajani's passenger door.
It's a magnet.
He's driving around in a silver pickup truck with cowboy butts drive me nuts on his passenger door.
Yeah, how long was that there?
Oh, I think you caught it after just like, I don't know, 16 hours or so.
I caught it yesterday.
Yeah,
actually, I didn't catch it. My wife is getting ready to get into the truck, and she says, what is this? And I'm like, I'm already kind of not in a good mood, and I'm like, I got to walk all the way around the truck. I'm like, this better be worth it. If it's a bug or something, I'm going to be mad. So I walk around the truck, and she goes, no, this, cowboy butts drive me nuts. And I'm like, what the? You know, you just one of those things. You're out in your front yard. You look
Yellowstone
around.
Yellowstone fan, Bajani here.
You know, not a Yellowstone fan at all. So I peel that off, and we had my mother-in-law's car in the driveway. So I just took it off and I slapped it on her car.
that's kind of how it came to be on your truck.
It's probably my father-in-law, or you know, maybe my neighbor across the street who like is good for a rando practical joke every once in a while. So I slap it on their car. And their car's in the driveway again this morning without the magnet on it. So I don't know where your magnet
I've created
is.
Created madness.
I think my worry there, boys, is how long is too long? Like, I immediately thought about, like, Sean's a good dude, man. Like, if Sean was just a jerk, like, I'd be like, I don't care if he drives around with it for a week. I could care less. Like, he's a good dude. In my mind, I'm thinking, damn, I hope he don't pull up to Big City Wings with that thing on his phone.
That would have been awesome.
I mean, see, Tyler, you'd like to do it for a month and not recognize it. At some point, you got to tell him, man.
I'm all good for a joke, though. Like, I would put it on the tailgate. I might put it on the hood. Like, I'll have fun with it. Little do you guys know, like, back in the day, I used to pimp a 1989 Grand Marquis. It was like a freaking giant boat.
Nice.
And I thought it was a really good idea to have a bumper sticker on my back bumper that said, honk if you want me. I rolled around with that for probably about 3 years.
Yeah,
so I'll have fun with it. I don't care.
You need to at least break the news to your old lady before you put a cowboy butts driving nuts on the passenger seat. You got to at least let your old lady know.
I didn't know how to take it. Like, I thought, is somebody trying to tell me something? Like, do they think I have a cute butt? you know, do I have to worry about somebody at the office having a crush on me? What's the deal?
Hey, look, well, you need to quit thinking about yourself and wonder them all them people that were driving around before. What they were thinking every time they pulled up next to you and looked in there. To heck with you.
Yeah, well, I got really dark tinted windows, so hopefully nobody saw who was driving that truck.
Good. So good.
That is great. All right, Will Anderson and Daniil Hunter, where you at? Where you at with these guys? I saw a pressures list, top pressure appliers, if you will, in the NFL, and I was shocked to see our two big edge rushers were not on that graphic. I'll tell you who was leading the show, what the story was about, and we got to talk about why, at least where you're at, of why Will Anderson and Daniil Hunter aren't on that particular list. We'll do that next right here on Sports Radio 610.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from Big City Wings in Humble, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Yeah, Ron Hughley is out. Sean Bajani is in, and we are, like the big voice guy said, Fall Creek, Big City Wings. Y'all come through and hang out. I just had one of the best things in radio business happen to me, Sean.
What's that? Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. I heard.
My man walked up, first of all, said, hey, man, where do I get in this raffle for these U of H tickets? Obviously a big U of H guy. And he asked about a good friend of ours that used to be in sales here. And so we had a brief conversation. He looked down and he said, this shirt right here, he said, I bought it at Academy because I saw one of your videos that you post, and I saw it in the background. And so I went to Academy Sports and Outdoors.
Yeah.
And got my gear. I said, ooh, will you please call Academy and let them know it's working, baby? No, it was
that's great stuff.
That's great, man. That's good stuff right there. That's how it's supposed to work, man. But hey, B. Scott was on with me yesterday, Sean.
Mm-hmm.
And B. Scott, he had an idea. And we just, man, the show got busy yesterday. And one thing led to another, and we didn't get to it.
Happens.
And I said, you know what? This would be a great conversation for my man, Sean Bajani. And what B. Scott, the way he feels about this New England game, he's got some pretty serious feels. But one of those was, this is the game that he legitimately starts worrying about Daniil Hunter and Will Anderson if they don't absolutely wreck shop in this game versus New England. And the overall point was that this offensive line has been ravaged, man. I think they're down five offensive linemen. I think they've started five different combinations of offensive lines. They're starting a rookie quarterback. I believe this is the worst pass offense in football. I think they're number 32.
Yeah.
So you look at this. This is just a week where really everybody on the defensive side of the football should absolutely eat. And I don't think it's a bad conversation. I don't think it's an unfair conversation to have about Will Anderson and Daniil Hunter. This defense has been a big-time pressure defense this season.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody deserves credit, no doubt about it. But when you bring in a guy, the number one free agent in free agency, definitely the number one guy on the defensive side of the football, Daniil Hunter, and you back up the money truck, and then Will Anderson is in year two after being drafted number three and showing some big-time promise in year one, you just expect those guys to flash. I watched the 49ers last night, and Bosa was an absolute problem for four quarters for the Seattle Seahawks offense.
Right.
And Geno Smith is playing really, really good football. They got a bunch of weapons. They've got some really good young offensive linemen. They got a really good tackle. So, you know, I'm watching that game and I'm thinking, boy, this is what I expect Daniil Hunter and Will Anderson to do.
Yeah.
And this is not a complaint, by the way. So everybody out there that's soft and you want to, you don't like to have real conversations about your squad, like then just sit this one out. But I'm in no way, shape, or form complaining about what this defense overall is doing. But if I'm being honest, my expectations for Will Anderson and Daniil Hunter, there's more to it. I watched.
You're looking for him to put up the sack numbers, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, sacks. Yes. I mean, I think at the end of a 17-week season, yes, the sack numbers need to be there. I don't even know what Joey Bosa had last night. Like, I don't know what his. I don't know if he had a sack last night. I don't care. He wrecked that offense for a good chunk of the game.
Yeah, you could see it. But you know what? Like, for B. Scott to say if both Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson don't break out and fill up the stat sheet this weekend, that he's going to start worrying about them. Like, I feel like I'm watching a little bit different of a game than he is through the first 5 weeks, because when I watch Danielle Hunter and I watch Will Anderson, I'm seeing what you saw out of Joey Bosa last week. Not to that elite type level yet, obviously, but I'm seeing those guys affect plays. And I'm seeing him affect plays at big moments in the game. I mean, look at Danielle Hunter. What was it against the Jacksonville Jaguars a few weeks ago? Like, he basically, you know, ends that game. Like, puts it on ice, right, with a big sack to end it on that final drive. And then Will Anderson the other day, the pressure, you know, in the end zone on Josh Allen forces that third down incompletion, which sets up the Robert Woods 10-yard punt return, which then sets up the little dump off, 59-yard field goal. Like, there's that domino effect. Like, these guys, when their backs have been up against the wall, when they need to make a play for the team, and there was a lot asked of that defense, especially in the second half against the Bills the other day, those guys stepped up and made plays. So I don't need to see, you know, Anderson and Hunter combined for 3.5-4 sacks this weekend and a whole bunch of quarterback hits and pressures to feel good about them. We're doing the same thing to ourselves this year that we did last year, now with two guys, that we did to Will Anderson last season. Where are the sacks? Where are the sacks, man?
But that's a rookie in his first NFL action, man. I think that's a different animal, man.
That's fine, but then the final 8-9 games of the season, that dude flipped that switch. He turned it on.
Sure.
He was being told by D'Amico and Matt Burke all season long, it's going to come. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
And then what? Those sacks, those pressures, the hits, they all came in bunches. And at season's end, what everybody loves to hate, you know, to be brought up, the pressure rate. Anderson was tops among pressure rate, and then he was tops among sacks as a rookie defensive end.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
What more do you want?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what I want.
Hunter and Anderson right now are among the very top pressure ends in NFL right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're the best tandem, ain't they?
If not the best, then certainly one of the top five.
Yeah, no, I don't have a problem with what we're seeing from the Texans defense at all. I would be lying if I told you that. There's been, I don't know that there, and again, I watch through a different lens because I'm watching at the games, I'm live. Like, there's not been but a handful of, like, individual moments where you're like, these dudes are, like, that dude. Not, the defense has been great as a whole. The defense has been tremendous. D'Amico Ryans has dialed up blitz, and they've gotten home a ton of times. They've pressured as much as any defense in the game. So the defense as a whole has been fine. But I don't know, I just... You know, there's not been too many moments, much less a whole quarter or a game, where I watch a game and I was like, these dudes have no chance on offense because Danielle Hunter or Will Anderson they're wrecking shop. They're blowing up run schemes. They can't protect even if they allocate two a tackle and a tight end or a tackle and they can't. Like, I've not seen that moment yet from the Texans defense, from Will Anderson or Danielle Hunter. And if I'm going to pay the kind of money that you pay for Danielle Hunter, I think it's very fair to expect those types of moments. To your point, it may come later in the season. It very well may. I just need to see. I'm at a point now where I'd feel real good if I saw it. Especially from Danielle Hunter, given what you've seen from him in the past and what you paid.
I can't disagree with you. I mean, look, I'm with you. They haven't, like, flashed. They haven't made it impossible for you to look away.
Yeah.
Right? But the
Aiden
way
Hutchinson has. This year.
Yes.
I don't watch a ton of football outside of the Texans, like, live on TV, because I'm doing a post-game show.
Yeah.
And so you're watching the Texans during the 12 o'clock games, and you're doing the post-game show during the 3 o'clock games. So, you know, I don't get to see live a lot.
Totally.
I mean, I bet I've watched several primetime games, but I know I've seen Aiden Hutchinson be an absolute monster and cause problems.
The dudes,
I know I've seen Bosa do it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a handful of guys that you watch and you're just like, you almost expect it from them. And I want Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter to get in that. to get in that category of player at some point.
You just made me think of something, though, real quick, with the way that you said something that, boy, as much money as you're paying Danielle Hunter, you just want the guy to kind of flash, right?
Yes.
Okay. We're waiting on Danielle Hunter. But also, too, we're waiting on Laremy Tunsil and Titus Howard and this Texans offensive line as a whole to, you know, kind of put it together and become – that run-blocking force and even that pass protection force that they're supposed to be. Like, you got one of the best quarterbacks in the league, you know, behind you. Like, what are we doing here?
Absolutely.
And here we are. It's a 4-1 football team.
Yeah, I'm with you. By the way, another edge rusher that we've seen cause absolute problems. Yeah, he was a Texan last year, and he was on the Texan schedule a little earlier this year. Jonathan Grenard.
He's on some of those lists.
That type of performance, man, I'm looking for. All right, we got the injury report. It came out a little earlier, and I think the big one of the two big stories going on injury rise with the Texans right now is Kamari Lassiter, the starting cornerback opposite Derek Stingley. The defensive coordinator Matt Burke, he spoke about Lassiter yesterday, and we're going to catch you up on the possible replacements. What do the Texans have in house right now to play cornerback opposite Derek Stingley, now that we know Kamari Lassiter is on the shelf at least for a week? We'll do that next right here on Sports Radio 610.
That's weight room right there, baby.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Baby.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from Big City Wings in Humble, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ryan Hughley is out. Sean Vajani is in. We are at Fall Creek Humble location of Big City Wings. Come through, hang out. Great vibes in Big City Wings. Always is from start to finish for us. Even though I will be honest, as the day kind of unfolds, it seems like the vibe gets better and better as it gets closer to to sundown. You know what I mean? But come on through. We're at Fall Creek location up in Humble. And big shout out to Academy Sports and Outdoors. When you come in the door over here at Big City Wings, right inside the door to your left, there is a QR code you need to scan and enter to win the Academy Sports and Outdoors Ultimate Football Tailgate Package, which is a $1,000 gift card to Academy Sports and Outdoors, as well as two tickets to the suite for the Texans Baltimore Ravens game on Christmas Day in our suite. So we'll all be able to hang out and watch some Texans hopefully take care of business versus the Baltimore Ravens. Make sure you register for that. And then today we've got two Academy Sports and Outdoor $25 gift cards that we're giving away. In fact, I'm going to give one of those away in this coming segment, in this coming break. And then we've also got two $25 gift cards to Big City Wings. We've got U of H Utah tickets, and we've got U of H K-State tickets to give away.
Let's go.
Well, I'll give away a pair of those in this break coming up here next in this 4 o'clock break as well. We got with the Texans, New England Patriots, they go to New England Sunday, and we're already without Nico Collins. And any way you slice it, although we the depth at the wide receiver position better be more than enough to handle business, not just versus New England, but really for the month or month plus that he's going to be out. But we already had that news that Nico Collins was out. And we were waiting on news on a couple of different players, and the injury report from Friday's practice has dropped. I believe they practiced at 11:30, so the injury report dropped. And the name that stands out here is Kamari Lassiter, the cornerback, second-round pick out of Georgia. He's been the starter since he stepped foot at NRG Stadium after he was drafted, and he's played well. He's played really well. And the depth at the cornerback position has I thought it was going to be good when we were in training camp, but the depth at the cornerback position right now, I'm not going to say it's suspect, but there's a lot of unknown.
Well, there's a lot of unavailability.
There's guys that were – Jeff Okuda, I felt really good about him as a number three corner on this team. And he's been injured since the beginning of the season as well. Really, he's been injured since the last week or so of training camp. Mm-hmm. And so it's been a rough go at it for him. I'd feel really good if Jeff Okuda could go. By the way, he is eligible to come off the injured reserve, but they obviously hasn't practiced, so he's not ready yet. But what that leaves, and this is where I want to go with this, is what that leaves with Kamari Lassiter is Chris Boyd, Kadar Holman, and D'Angelo Ross. But before we get there, Tyler, do you have that Burke four pool?
I sure do.
Let's hear from Matt Burke, the defensive coordinator, on Kamari Lassiter. Now, this he said this yesterday before they officially announced that he wasn't going to play, but I got a feeling that the defensive coordinator knew what the hell was going on. But here's Matt Burke on Lassiter not being available this week.
I'm not sure who's going to be available yet for us. So when we figure out exactly who that is, I think those will, you know, those determinations will be made. And that's like what we do going through the week. Like, again, part of practice, not just obviously prepping for their team, but putting those guys in those spots and putting different people and say, hey, is this sort of set up better than this? And I would say I think coach does a good a job as anybody of just sort of evolving as to the week. Like, let's try this out. Man, I don't like that as much. Okay, that looks decent. Let's sort of build on that. Or, hey, this guy's showing up a little bit more. Maybe we can kind of incorporate that element. So I'd say that's probably still ongoing, and we'll have the answer by Sunday. How's that?
Well, that's Matt Burke, defensive coordinator on Kamari Lassiter, and he obviously wasn't going to let the cat out of the bag, but I think you can tell by the tone that he knew they were going to have to mix and match some guys and figure out what they were going to do at the cornerback position. Here are the options, and if I miss anything on these guys, Sean, let me know. You got Chris Boyd, a sixth-year vet in the NFL. He's been with Minnesota, Arizona, and Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, he was on the P-Squad, practice squad, week 8 through 14. He was activated week 14 and actually played some. He's been active all year long with the Texans in a backup role. Well, I think he has gotten a couple snaps at corner, but in a backup role, he's been active more so as a specialist in Houston all year long.
Right.
Chris Boyd. Kadar Holman, fourth year. I looked at his resume, and he's been with about 42 different teams in the NFL so far. He's been called up and down and moved all around, but he's been with the Texans since week 6 of 2023. I believe he got called up last year, played some significant time.
Yeah, he got some run.
Yeah, in that run last year where D'Amico Ryan seemed like he played every defensive back that he could find in Houston. Kadar Holman actually played some nickel. He played some outside corner. He played quite a bit, I believe, if my memory serves me. And then you got D'Angelo Ross, another fourth-year NFL guy, spent time in New England, spent time in Miami, and now he's in Houston. Been in Houston again since January of 2023, so it's year two for him. Those are the three guys that
– Ross was kind of rough at times last year, if you remember, at corner.
Yeah, those are the three guys, though, that are they have to pick from ultimately. Which direction do you think they end up going in? Before we go to a name, how big of a deal do you think that not having Kamari Lassiter is here?
I mean, I think it's a big deal because you just talked about it. The other two guys, like on that quote-unquote depth chart that we thought we had coming into the regular season, C.J. Henderson and Jeff Okuda, aren't available to the Texans at this point in time. So it's pretty skimpy right now. Now, Chris Boyd and Kadar Holman I'd feel the most comfortable with if I have to pick, but – you know, there's a couple of other guys that I think maybe make their way into the conversation, but you tell me. Desmond King has not been activated at one time at all this season. Now, he's mostly, you know, been a nickel corner during his time in the NFL, but has played for the Texans outside corner before.
Yeah.
He also helps fill that void since Robert Woods didn't practice all week, is not going to be playing against the Patriots as a punt return guy. So I think maybe that's an option. And maybe Miles Bryant. You tell me what you think about Miles Bryant, who was picked up from the Patriots, spent the last 4 years with the Patriots. He, too, is a punt returner, but, again, primarily, you know, a slot corner. I don't know how much corner, outside corner he's played in his NFL career, but I think those are also two guys to keep an eye on.
Well, they're two guys that are in the organization and play a cover defender position, that's for sure. I'm not comfortable at all with either of them. I don't like the – because I love Des King. I said, let me be careful here. I loved him out of the options that the Texans had when they cut him. I like him playing alongside Jalen Petrie now, but they don't seem that way for whatever reason. They just don't. Even though he gets in the game and he continues to make plays, I believe he's a true slot corner. I love Lovie Smith tried to sell him as a cover two corner. Which he can,
really
can obviously
69.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you, Lovey. But there, you know, there's. I don't like those guys, especially how much the Texans are having to pressure. I like a true corner out there, and I don't think that those guys are true options. I think it's going to be one of the guys that's on this short list that I think D'Amico Ryans has shown to have confidence in,
mm-hmm.
and I think with Dez King. I think he's probably got confidence in his game, but I don't know that he knows what kind of Dez King's going to show up the day before the game.
You know what I mean? That's been a very curious thing, and I wonder just how well Petrie's played. You know, has kind of stifled Desmond King's opportunities on this year's squad. Yeah. I think it's a good ace in the hole, so to speak, for the Texans to have, like in their back pocket. If you need that guy, you know he knows the system. You know he can be relied upon. You know he's going to be in the mix and make big plays when you need him to. I would say, like, Chris Boyd, if you held a gun to my head, is probably the go-to there in place of Kamari Lassiter this weekend. But, look, again, we're talking about the beneficial part of this is you're playing the New England Patriots, who haven't done squat offensively. This is a team that's not even averaging 13 points per game. They can't throw the lick out of the football. You don't know what you're getting out of Drake May this weekend. And the pressures that the Texans defense has put on quarterbacks through the first 5 weeks says that, you know what, you could almost throw, you know, XYZ player from Little Sisters of the Poor out there, and you should be fine if you're the Texans defensively, particularly in the secondary.
Well, it is a week where, boy, you got to feel good about playing some depth, relatively speaking. I mean, it you damn sure don't want to run up against a team that's got two or three guys that are as explosive as your group is.
Yeah.
And you got to ask these other guys to these backups to try to hold it down.
But these are the games that I look forward to seeing, Clint, because it's against a far lesser opponent, and you have an opportunity to see what is in your bag. You saw how important depth was for the Texans last year, and oh, by the way, when MJ Stewart went down, Jimmy Ward, who am I thinking of? Eric Murray went down last year. There went your depth, and they were down within the first 8 weeks of the season. Yeah. You had to go out and get Adrian Amos. You ended up getting Kareem Jackson. You had to go get DeAndre Houston Carson. The fact that D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio could pivot and get that quality of talent in-house up to speed that quickly is huge.
Yeah.
These guys have been in the system, so I want to see how well they perform, at a place in which the Texans have never won, in an environment in which you're facing a rookie quarterback. Rookie quarterbacks have done very well in the NFL this year, and a mobile guy like Drake May. It's going to be interesting to see how the Texans defensively look against this Patriots squad. I know they haven't done squat, but you're looking for them to play their first complete game all season long. This is a hell of an opportunity to get what you can out of that depth.
Absolutely it is. And staying on that defensive front, Sean, you alluded to it there. Like D'Amico Ryans, maybe I'm more comfortable than I should be, but D'Amico Ryans and Bobby Slowick, when it comes to covering up for weaknesses as you have to play more depth and as injuries occur, these guys have hit grand slams, time after time after time, whether it's the O-line or the wide receivers last year, or it's the safeties or the corners from D'Amico Ryans last year. I just trust D'Amico is going to, one, have a prepared to play, and then, two, have a plan that's not going to put the guy in a position to where he can decide whether this game is won or lost.
Whoever point.
That backup may be.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's the latest on Kamari Lassiter. He is not going to play this week. He's officially been scratched from the active. And Chris Boyd, Kadar Holman, D'Angelo Ross are the three potential fill-ins there. We'll see which guy D'Amico decides to give the bulk of the corner, the number two corner run to. We'll see how that goes. All right, there's a huge slate of college football games this week, y'all. And Tyler's got some lines as well in those games. We're not going to get real deep off into the weeds on some of the different prop bets and things like that. But, boy, there is one of these games that I absolutely love. And, Tyler, probably going to have to ask you to put a dollar or two on it.
Let's go.
We'll run down this week's college slate, and we'll talk about them lines when we come back right here on Sports Radio 610.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.